Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's VIP Studio Visit. The Captain will be back starting the first week of May. To order your tickets before they are all sold out, go to HowieCarShow.com and click on the VIP tab. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Did you miss us? We are back with more news and more stories. And more guests. Great guests lined up for today, if I do say so myself. And we just want to get right into it. But before we do, another special shout out to WUVR, WNTK, and WHMP for tuning in today and joining us on this ride. We're so excited to have you. We hope to keep expanding bigger and bigger as time goes on. Also, I did a hit this morning in Orlando, and there was a lot of listeners to Good Morning Orlando, who said they tune in. They're snowbirds, but they still listen to the Grace Curley Show. And we thank you all so much. Alrighty, now, without further ado, you know what I'm going to start with today. Some days it depends, and then other days something jumps out at you and you go, oh, that's the cut. So let's talk about the administration that we were told for months on end was going to usher in unity. That was Joe Biden's entire shtick. Because he was down the basement for most of the campaign, the entire appeal of the Biden administration was back to normal. You know, there's been so many mean tweets and so much division in this country under Trump. We need normal. We need to make America again. And we need to unify. And here comes Joe Biden hobbling in all his hair sniffing glory, and he is going to usher in decency and normalcy back to the White House. You know, it's not going to be black versus white, Republican versus Democrat, men versus women. We are going to once again be Americans. Well, the issue with that is that his White House, there's several issues with that. One, it's a bald-faced lie. Two is his press secretary, Jen Psaki, is doing everything in her power to make conservatives believe that this administration not only does not care what they think, but actively dislikes them. I know that might come as a shock to you. If you've been paying attention over the last couple of years, you've seen the news hits where Don Lemon and Rick Wilson laughed about credulous boomer rubes. You probably witnessed Hillary Clinton talking about the basket of deplorables and irredeemables. You heard the name calling about bitter clingers. And who can forget Peter Strzok saying that he could smell the Trump support at a Walmart he was at. So this elitism and this prejudice is nothing new for all of us deplorables, proud deplorables. We're used to it. And then recently, Joe Biden came out after the mask mandate was lifted in Texas, and he said that it was the result of Neanderthal thinking. So it became more and more clear that this was not going away. And the administration of unity has done it again. Jen Psaki, and now here's the deal with Jen Psaki. Sometimes I give the White House press secretary a break because she is the mouthpiece for a zombie president. She is trying to explain what's going on in the head of someone who has nothing going on. And that must be hard. And so a lot of times what she's doing is she's saying, oh, well, that he didn't mean that, or that was a miscommunication, or that's not his belief. You've heard all those things before. But then, as much as I give her that sometimes, she'll come out and say something totally on her own, a remark that you can tell she thought was a good idea. And I go, you might actually just be exceptionally bad at this job. That could be the case. Without further ado, Jen Psaki was talking about strengthening vaccine confidence in white conservative communities. Let's listen to what she said.
Members of our COVID team from Dr. Fauci and Dr. Collins participate in a range of media interviews. You know, an example is Dr. Collins participated in the 700 Club. Dr. Nunez-Smith hosted a faith leaders roundtable. We've run PSAs on the deadliest catch. We're engaged with NASCAR and Country Music TV. We're looking for a range of creative ways to get directly connected to white conservative communities. We won't always be the best messengers, but we're still trying to meet people where they are, but also empower local organizations.
You're definitely not the best messengers. We can agree on that. Deadliest Catch, NASCAR, and Country Music TV. I saw a lot of replies to this. I saw a lot of conservatives talking about it today on the news. And Eddie Zipperer, I might be butchering his name, but he had the best response. He wrote, "We placed a PSA on every Mountain Dew bottle. What more can we do?" And that really is, I mean.
And they're going to go back, you know, to the Olive Garden.
I am going to go to the Olive Garden. I'm going to say to them, give me a glass of Mountain Dew. Turn on Deadliest Catch. And give me directions to the nearest Walmart. Thank you very much. And go Trump. This is the part of it that amazes me. And I went back to this transcript because my original issue with this is that when it comes to a lack of vaccine confidence, a lot of black communities are very skeptical of the vaccine. And I have no problem with them being skeptical. This is the United States of America. You can be skeptical. You can be proud of the vaccine. You can get it. You cannot get it. It is all whatever you want to do as an individual. But she did acknowledge that first. She did say there, you know, we're trying to strengthen the confidence in black and brown communities. But when she goes on to explain how they're broadening confidence in the white communities, she feels that it is okay to mention NASCAR and Deadliest Catch. And I don't want to play the imagine game because in this situation, it would get me in a lot of trouble and I'm not going to do it. But as vaguely as I can, I'm going to say this. Imagine if Jen Psaki got up there and said, we're trying to strengthen the confidence in the vaccine in, now choose any other group besides white people. And to do that, we are placing ads on, and now pick any other television show that stereotypically that group would enjoy. There would be outrage. The black Surgeon General at one point said something about Big Mama, and there was outrage about that. And he's actually black. If she had done this with any other group besides redneck white Trump supporters, this would not be okay. But it's okay because they're running PSAs on the Deadliest Catch, okay? So stop. And also, I just have to say for the record here, I know a lot of Trump supporters. A lot of people in my family are Trump supporters, white conservatives. And you know what they all have in common, Jared? Most of them have gotten the vaccine. Happily. Most of them have grandkids. They don't want their kids to feel nervous about them coming to see their grandkids. A lot of white conservatives I know have gotten the vaccine. In fact, the only group of people that seems to be stirring up this anti-vaxxer narrative are people like Dr. Fauci and Dr. Rochelle Walensky and Joy Reid. The left elitist media and government officials are the people that are destroying confidence in this vaccine. So maybe Jen Psaki and company should stop spending time running PSAs on Deadliest Catch and just pull Dr. Fauci aside. They don't even have to. This would be free of charge for them. They could just pull Dr. Fauci aside and say, hey, do us a favor. Next time you go out and your next media hit, which is 30 seconds away, where you're jam-packed up all day long with media hits, maybe tell people that things are going to be good if they get the vaccine. Just a thought. Maybe throw in a little incentive, like you can take off your fourth mask if you get the vaccine. Maybe stop telling people that there's no end in sight. I feel, and maybe I'm naive, I think that would do 10 times more than the Deadliest Catch PSA. This woman, she...
Wow, she... The new Ben Affleck.
She really, she's racist. I mean, it's a racist thing to say. Or it's at least a prejudice thing to say. But then again, it's against white people, so it's all good. Guys, when we get back, we'll be talking about some of the riots and protests last night. I have a great guest, Freddie Gray. He's from Spectator. He has an awesome piece out on some of the looting and rioting, and we'll be talking about that at 12:30. Also, really exciting, at 1 o'clock, I have a guest I'm so excited about. He's a World War II vet. He survived lung cancer and coronavirus. And just a fun fact, Jared, he got his college degree at age 75. I just read this guy's story because I wanted to have him on the show. He's from East Bridgewater. And I get the story and I'm reading it. Incredible life. I think I might spend more time just asking him to go over his life rather than the COVID situation. But I'm really excited about that. A lot of great guests. We'll take your calls. 844-500-4242. And here's the other thing. It's true what they say at Perfect Smiles. Change your smile, change your life. I saw the change with Howie and with the mailroom manager. Many people walk around all day long not smiling. You know, you do the half smile. You're trying to cover your teeth up. That is no way to live. You should be happy with your teeth. You should be proud of your teeth. And it really is amazing what a perfect smile and what a great smile can do for your confidence, for you socially. It can really change your life. Don't take my word for it. Go to perfectsmiles.com and watch their video testimonials. Talk about incredible transformations. You can actually find Howie's there and the mailroom manager's video testimonials. So make sure you check those out. Dr. Houghton is really an artist. He's also just incredibly kind. I know for me, whenever I'm getting work done on my teeth, it helps if the person doing the work is really nice and makes you feel calm and not nervous. And that is Dr. Houghton. Perfect Smiles is conveniently located in Nashua, New Hampshire. Parking is free. Like I said, the staff is incredible. If you've been wanting to upgrade your look for years, contact them today and look at their video testimonials. Go to perfectsmiles.com. That's perfectsmiles.com. Change your smile, change your life. 844-500-4242. Do you watch country music TV? And are you scared of the vaccine? I guess that's the logical question here. We'll be back on the other side with some of your calls and more sound. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. She's the friend you never knew you needed.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Okay, make that best friend. It's Grace Curley.
Members of our COVID team from Dr. Fauci and Dr. Collins participate in a range of media interviews. You know, an example is Dr. Collins participated in the 700 Club. Dr. Nunez-Smith hosted a Faith Leaders Roundtable. We're also looking for, we've run PSAs on the deadliest catch. We're engaged with NASCAR.
All I can think about is Talladega Nights. I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew. Jared just had a great point. Remember when Lady Gaga was campaigning for Joe Biden and she wore that tight camouflage outfit and she posed in front of a giant truck and she cracked open
cracked
Bud Light.
A beer. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, it was her rallying cry to all of the boomer rubes. Vote for Joe. We're with you. We understand. It was so cringeworthy and tone deaf. But I mean, she also wasn't the White House press secretary. There's a level of thought that goes into these things, Jen Psaki says. That's probably the scariest part. We talked, I was on with Howie yesterday, and we were talking about how Biden, it's not that he fumbles. It's that he's fumbling while he's in front of the teleprompter. And while he has all of this help. So you can only imagine what would happen if he went off script. Jared, I think it's time for the poll question here. Today's poll question is brought to you by Covfefe Coffee. Making Coffee Great Again. From the MAGA Dark Roast to their Drain the Swamp Medium Roast, Covfefe Coffee has it all. To order today, go to doyoucovfefe.com. If you are missing Donald Trump's tweets and you have forgotten how he spelled the infamous Covfefe, it's C-O-V-F-E-F-E, and it's delicious. We have a pot of it going right now. I'm holding it up for the camera. That's doyoucovfefe.com. Jared Diglia, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
If you had to choose between them, who would you vote for? Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis?
I find this question to be really, really tough, and I'll tell you why. I think Ron DeSantis has a lot of appeal, especially to those Republicans who held their nose for Trump but couldn't really stand all of his eccentric behavior on occasion. And I get that. I think Ron DeSantis is probably the smarter choice. But what I will say is I am part of the group of people who, after watching Trump for 4 years, I'm in awe of how much he gave to be president. He put up so much fight. He never was depressed or discouraged. And I know people are going to say, oh, you know, she's a Trump suck up or whatever. But I would get so frustrated watching the media day in and day out tear this guy apart. And he was like a juggernaut every single time he came back, you know, punching. And the loyalty I have for that, for having someone fight for 4 years and go through what he went through, if he were to ever run against Ron DeSantis, I think I'd have to vote for Trump still.
Donald Trump in the lead at 54% for 46% to Ron DeSantis. Very close.
It would be tough, though. It would be tough because I do love Ron DeSantis.
That's like trying to choose between a low-grade beer, the deadliest catch, or chewing tobacco. You just can't.
You can't.
I love them all.
Life is full of hard choices, Jared, for all of us rednecks.
Tonight, like a spider monkey jacked up on Mountain Dew.
Tonight I'm going to drive home. I'm going to be going, do I go with the Olive Garden or do I go with Taco Bell? Or, you know, do I just stop at Walmart and grab some supplies? Make my own tacos. I don't know.
I just had a doomsday prepper MRE during the break. I mean, what do you do?
What do you do? Speaking of vaccinations, so Kamala Harris is discussing, I'm sorry, not Kamala Harris, Jen Psaki is discussing how she's trying to amp up the confidence in the vaccines. And listen to, this is Dr. Rochelle Walensky. You guys remember her because she was the same woman who went off script to tell us about the impending doom that she feared. She's the CDC director. That tells you most of what you need to know. She's an expert. And she was asked about Michigan and how they're having a surging COVID outbreak. And take a listen to what she said. Cut two.
The answer to that is to really close things down, to go back to our basics, to go back to where we were last spring, last summer, and to shut things down, to flatten the curve. But really what we need to do in those situations is shut things down. I think if we tried to vaccinate our way out of what is happening in Michigan, we would be disappointed that it took so long for the vaccine to work.
How about new?
No, Jared, I need another drop. I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
Thank you, Mugatu. This is insanity. The gall of this woman, even Fauci, and I don't give Dr. If you're a fan of the Grace Curley Show, you know that I don't give Dr. Fauci a lot of credit. But even Dr. Fauci knows that he should not be using those trigger words, flatten the curve. Because every person hears those, and whether or not you praise at the altar of Fauci or not, when you hear flatten the curve, your hypocrisy bell starts dinging. Because you remember that time in your life when you're watching Tiger King and going, oh, only five more days till we get to stop this. She has the nerve to actually say, not only does Michigan, they're not going to be helped by vaccines, but we need to go back to shutting everything down after a year. And it's really amazing because the places that shut down the hardest, it hasn't really helped them at all. But she's still a fan of the shutdowns. The hypocrisy knows no bounds. All right, guys, we got Freddie Gray from The Spectator. He's talking about crime and no punishment in Minneapolis. We'll be back on the other side. Do not go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Aviva Trattoria Studio and to The Grace Curley Show. We're very excited to be here, and we have a lot to get to. I steered clear of this yesterday a little bit because I was waiting for more of the facts to come out, and I'm glad I did. The story about Dante Wright, obviously a terrible tragedy, and he was shot by a police officer. Allegedly, she thought she was reaching for her taser, and she actually was reaching for her gun. And because of that, and because of the George Floyd trial that's still going on, there's been a lot of riots, a lot of looting, a lot of protesting as well. You know, I got to be fair and mention it all, because there have been peaceful protests, but there also has been a lot of destruction. And I wanted to bring on a guest who really broke this down in a great way and kind of... I think sometimes when we talk about these situations, things have to be all or nothing. Like the cop has to either be all wrong or all right, or the person who is the victim has to be all wrong or all right. And I think sometimes it's good to have a little nuance here in the conversation. I'm thrilled to bring on my next guest. He's a editor and writer at The Spectator US. Freddie Gray, thank you so much for joining the show, sir.
Pleasure. Nice to be with you, Grace.
All right. First, Freddie, let's discuss Dante Wright's death. In your piece, you yourself say the mistake was terrible and stupid, but you also tie in the media here and how they're assisting in some of the lawlessness of the rioters and the protesters. Can you kind of break down what your thought process is with this?
Well, I mean, I think first and foremost, I think we often get distracted by analyzing these horrible videos of people getting killed. And you know, in each different case, there are arguments on one side, arguments on another, and they can be difficult things to argue about. But we get hung up on that, and we stop focusing on the fact that it's not appropriate to riot in reaction to anything. Really, it's not a legal or sensible thing to do. And for a long time, and certainly in the last year, during the Trump presidency, there was this sort of tacit acceptance that it was a reasonable thing for people to be rioting and smashing up neighborhoods in response to systemic injustice. We can argue about systemic injustice till the cows come home, but I think we should be clear, and certainly our American presidents and leaders should be clear, that it's not okay to cause mass lawlessness on the streets. But in the Democratic hierarchy and certainly on the media, you do have this sort of slight encouragement, or certainly a sort of giving of emotional succor to protesters who aren't always just protesters. They're often looters. President Biden has said that looting is not excusable, but Kamala Harris has been slightly more vague about it. So I think there is this sort of tendency among the Democratic leadership class to not quite wink, but certainly encourage violence by suggesting that it's understandable.
Yeah, and Freddie, I want to go back to Kamala Harris because one of my favorite lines from your piece, which everyone can read at spectator.us.com, is when you talk about Kamala Harris wants to be the BLM ying to Biden's Democrat mainstream yang. And tell us a little bit about how she is encouraging this a little bit in her own way. We've seen in the past she did this with the bailouts and those kind of things. So talk a little bit here about Kamala.
Well, I do think certainly she's positioning herself as the sort of slightly edgier, more left alternative, but still not quite going full radical, but winking at the sort of radical thing. And I thought her language in her tweet was very telling. She said, "Prayers are not enough." Which is a very sort of faux 60s radical line. I think she tries to cultivate this aura around herself as being someone who's fiercely pushing for progress within the administration. And there's almost a sort of tacit sense there that Biden is the one holding her back. And that if you want real justice, you've got to wait for Kamala to come in.
Right. And something that you mentioned that I hadn't noticed specifically before, but I'm sure now after reading your piece, I will pick up on, is the rhetoric that is used that excuses this behavior to an extent where people say the city, whatever city it is, whatever city's rioting at the time, the city is on edge or it's understandably emotional. And when the insurrection happened at the Capitol on January 6th? I remember feeling, Freddie, that I was a little bit nervous to discuss it because I didn't want to appear as a hypocrite because I was a Trump supporter and I felt this like obligation to really obviously condemn what had happened. And then I started thinking about it and I was like, there's nothing difficult about this. What they did was bad and I can say that it was bad. But there does seem to be this tricky situation on the left where they have to excuse it or they have to put this emotional reason behind this irrational behavior.
Well, yes, and it's also self-sustaining. I mean, if you keep telling people that they're on edge, they're going to be on edge. And if the media keeps creating a sort of climate where we think that the Derek Chauvin trial is going to prove whether America is racist or not, it's going to sort of ramp up emotions. And that's why you've already had, before the trial has ended, you've already had this eruption of emotion. And the National Guard has been called in. The National Guard was on standby anyway, just in anticipation of violence around the Chauvin trial. And they've been called in to try and calm things down. But I do think it's you know, this word gaslighting gets used too much, but it is a form of gaslighting of the population to convince them, to convince the whole city that it's on edge, that it's a tinderbox about to blow. I mean, that's how you create a tinderbox.
Right, and you reference a piece that's going viral today, which I don't have because there were a lot of curses in it, but it's a CNN correspondent, Sarah Sidner, and she's talking to a man, I believe it's in Minneapolis, and she's talking to this man, and he says that the media is, really trying to fan the flames here and create a narrative. And tell us a little bit about that reaction and the reporter/activist reaction to the backlash.
I thought that was almost a beautiful example of how awful some American media is, in that you have this woman from CNN correspondent talking to an activist, a rioter, or protester, and she's desperate to signal to him that CNN is on his side, that, you know, she wants to listen to you, and you know, what is real, she says at one point, which is a bit of a strange thing to say. And then he keeps replying, saying, you know, you're the media, you're going to make us out to be evil, you're part of the awful establishment, and so on. And it's this sort of completely hopeless conversation, and it was a bit like watching a parent, a really bad parent, overindulging a very difficult child. And I think that is that's the dynamic now between elite media and the protesters. It's sort of, we're here, we hear your pain. And they say, no, go away, you don't understand us.
Yeah, and there does seem to be, I've noticed over the last couple of months, this pushback for the media, and kind of people are starting to see them as part of the problem and fanning a lot of this divisiveness that gets spoken about. And you mentioned the fact, which I think is really interesting, that when this was happening under Donald Trump, it was for several reasons. One, according to the left, America is built on systemic racism, but also two, we had a racist president. Again, I'm just speaking, you know, the viewpoint of some people. And now that Joe Biden's in office, I'm curious how they're going to frame this, because now they have Joe Biden, who's, you know, the unifier in chief, and they have Kamala Harris. So has anything changed, or is everything pretty much the same?
It's pretty much the same, but there's a sort of subtle tweak in the rhetoric. There's more talk about healing now, and the talk about healing comes from the top, comes from the president and the vice president. And so, you know, the real excuse for a lot of the violence last year was, well, of course, these people are reacting because the president of the United States is a racist and so on. You'd hear a lot of that. Now they can't say that. And so there's this sort of this idea that they're recovering from a wound. And that's the sort of the rhetoric.
Right. And speaking of the rhetoric, though, there does seem to be this desire to only have the narrative that the left wants. And I want to play you a cut here. I'm speaking with Freddie Gray from The Spectator. Everyone should check out his work. He also does podcasts for The Spectator, and they're wonderful. This is Chief Gannon. He called what happened a riot, and listen to the blowback from reporters. This is Cut 11.
What was your decision to issue a dispersal order while they were peacefully protesting in front of the police station? What led to you to issue a dispersal order, and then on the back end of that 10-minute dispersal order, then to issue out CO2 canisters and gas for the crowd?
So,
can you talk to us about
that? Just so everybody's clear, I was front and center at the protest, at the riot. We did not.
It was a riot.
Don't do that.
There was no riot.
There was. So I was. We were being the officers that were putting themselves in harm's way were being pelted with frozen cans of pop. They were being belted with concrete blocks. And yes, we had our helmets on and we had other protective gear. But an officer was injured, hit in the head with a brick. That was a Hennepin County deputy. He was transported to the hospital. So,
and Freddie, I've gotten used to the American media kind of, you know, taking something and then adding their little updates or corrections and saying, actually, it wasn't a riot, you know, fact check. But to fact check this guy who was there in real life on camera is kind of amazing.
Well, it's a new level of insanity, and it's one that's got worse, actually, as the riots have sort of continued for the last year. There's been sporadic riots. Is this attempt to say that it's not actually a riot? You know, there was a whole largely peaceful protest thing, which became a sort of joke. But it wasn't a joke that went away. It wasn't like everyone said, oh, that was stupid, and laughed it off. Now, it's got worse. I mean, anybody suggesting that a riot is a riot is told effectively that they're racist or that they're making up something in order to make headlines. And it again ties into this media dynamic of the more the media tries to placate the mob by saying, oh, no, it's just peaceful, the more the mob realizes that they have the upper hand over the media and says, you're the biased media, stop portraying us as rioting, even though the media aren't portraying them as rioting.
Yeah, no, the media, if anything, has burning buildings behind them and they're saying, everything looks good here, everything's going swimmingly. Freddie Gray, thank you so much for joining the show. Where can people follow you on Twitter and read all of your stuff?
Well, spectator.us is the Spectator's American website. You can also see an excellent article or two by Grace Curley on there. I'm on Twitter at FreddieGray31.
Thank you so much, Freddie. We hope to have you on the show again soon. Freddie actually has edited a lot of my pieces, so he's definitely has his work cut out for him going through all that grammar and stuff. But he's an excellent guest. Everyone should read his pieces. This one's really, really well done and kind of breaks down how a lot of the narratives involving the riots and looting in Minneapolis aren't adding up with what's actually happening. And we've seen that so many times before. Guys, now before we go to break here, I have one more thing to tell you. Since I was in my early 20s, I've struggled with acid reflux. And it makes sense. You know, it's not one of those things where you go, why do I keep getting this? I mean, at one point I was drinking Diet Coke by the gallon, and then I switched over, and then I started, you know, eating salsa and onions and chocolate, and all those things are triggers for acid reflux and heartburn. So I tried everything. I tried all the quick fixes to make myself feel better. You know, apple cider vinegar, whatever it is, I would take it because if you've ever had acid reflux, it's so painful and it's just so uncomfortable. But nothing worked. Nothing worked, especially not long term, until I found Balance 7. It's my one-stop shopping. It helps increase my energy levels. It aids in my digestion. It helps with heartburn and so much more. Check out Balance7.com and learn why balancing your body is so important for the performance of your immune system. This is an amazing product. You simply drink a total of 3 ounces a day, and within 72 hours, you'll feel better. You'll have better energy. You'll just feel healthier overall. Order your one-month supply at Balance7.com. Use code word GRACEFREE to save $10 off your first order and get free shipping. Be one of the first 50 to purchase Balance 7 and receive smooth skin, an exfoliant and deep cleansing skin conditioner valued at $13.99 for free. If you've struggled with acid reflux like me, or if you just want to feel really great every day, I can tell you that Balance 7 is the product for you. Order now, receive $10 off your first order of a 30-day supply, get free shipping, and a chance to receive smooth skin conditioner for, it's a value of $13.99, and you'll get it for free. This is an awesome product. Make sure you check it out. We'll be back on the other side with some of your calls. 844-500-4242. This is the Grace Curley Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the Whiskey Priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. We just had Freddie Gray on from Spectator, and I actually have good news. You can get 10% off a Spectator US subscription with code GRACE. My editor just sent me this just for you guys. Spectator.us/subscribe. Use code GRACE to get 10% off. It's a really great publication. I'm not just saying that because I write for them. Okay, now I do want to wrap up here. I'm sure we'll be talking about this more throughout the day, but protests were breaking out across the U.S. over police shooting of Dante Wright. I want to be very clear. This mistake, I agree with Freddie Gray. This mistake was stupid and avoidable. I mean, picking up your gun and thinking it's your taser, that's bad. That is bad. And but I also want to say that I don't agree with the rioting. I don't agree that breaking down a storefront helps any situation. Now, Representative Tlaib is calling for an end to policing following Dante Wright shooting in Minnesota. Did you see this tweet, Jared?
I did not, actually.
It is insane. And that is being generous. She says, I am done with those who condone government-funded murder. No more policing, incarceration, and militarization. It can't be reformed. She also said it wasn't an accident. Policing in our country is inherently and intentionally racist. Dante Wright was met with aggression and violence. It is possible. I know not in 2021 because everything is about race, but it is possible that she could have made this mistake with a white guy too, or a white woman or a black woman. She could have just made a bad mistake as a cop and not a bad mistake as a racist cop. That's I'm just throwing that out there. To say that we know that this had something to do with race seems to be a bit of a jump. But nonetheless, there are protests breaking out everywhere. Burn the precincts to the ground in every city and every town. A mob marching through Portland was filmed chanting. Portland always manages to get involved with these things. Whenever there's any sort of police violence or, you know, police scandals, they take it and they run with it and they just go crazy. Antifa in Portland was, you know, causing all sorts of ruckus. Photos also showed protesters also in black clothes streaming through a Washington, D.C. subway station as hundreds gathered at the Capitol. In the Big Apple, dozens of marchers shut down a portion of the Manhattan Bridge on Monday night in what was a mostly peaceful protest. I think what's happened here, I think Freddie Gray put it really well. We never, the government and police never. And no, you know what I'm going to say? The politicians never made it clear that they didn't support this and that you couldn't get away with, let's say, burning down a storefront or stealing a bunch of stuff from a high-end store. And now it's just the norm. Now, anytime there is a reason for peaceful protesting, which I have no problem with peaceful protesting, it seems that there's also a reason for insanity. And that is something I do not agree with. When we get back on the other side, I am talking to an incredible person. He is a World War II vet. He survived lung cancer. And he also survived COVID. And I can't wait to talk to this guy. I think you guys are really going to like him. We'll also be talking a little bit more about Jen Psaki, about COVID-19. And I have a journalism in the news. I don't know if you saw this piece, Jared, but remember last week, Kamala Harris was getting a snack.
Yes.
At a Chicago bakery. A lot of people were critical, you know. I thought she was in charge of the border. Why is she eating a slice of German chocolate cake in Chicago? And the White House was like, listen, she's helping with COVID. Well, she made another stop, and this one might be even more frivolous. She stopped at a crochet store to talk about her love of crocheting. We'll be back on the other side with more of your calls and some special guests. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.